of all, I want to say thank you to Pastor Shana for giving me this opportunity to preach today, although she's not able to be here. And I want to say thank you for my family for showing up to support me. I've done Bible studies, and I never wanted to preach, but then I talked to Pastor Shana, and she encouraged me, and then also God kept pushing me, and I'm ignoring him. And you know, you can't ignore God, right, when he pushes you. And at one point, I kept procrastinating, giving him excuses, and he told me I was being a baby. So I said, okay, I'm going to volunteer. And as soon as I volunteered, he gave me this message, and this message with a lot of visuals. But I want to thank also Pastor Jen and Pastor Jewel for helping me and supporting me in delivering this message. I'm excited about this message, and I pray that I can deliver it the way God has intended. So can we all please turn to 1 Peter 5:8 through 9 and read it together? But once you find it, can you please stand out of reverence for the Word of God? We use the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will be up on the screen. But first, let's say our Bible affirmation. So please hold up your Bible and your electronic devices. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. So 1 Peter 5:8 through 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that every eye be open to see, ears to hear the word, and hearts open to receive the message today. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory to you, Father. And may your words remain in each person today as they leave. Amen. You can be seated. So, the title of my message today is called Prime Targets. But I want to tell you a little bit about my younger days. I grew up camping, hiking, hunting, and fishing. I was about 10 when I learned to fish, and I was 13 when I went on my first hunt. But I realized that I liked camping more than hunting, and I loved fishing. Camping in the wild was an adventure. My dad would take us to the wilderness. We slept in tents. There was no running water, no campgrounds with electricity. And by the fourth or fifth day, all I could think about was coming home to take a shower. But those are the best memories of my childhood. My dad loved to camp and go on hikes. He loved hunting so much that he made his own decoy ducks out of fiberglass. He would paint them, and each line had to be just perfect. He was very meticulous about it because he wanted it to just look like live ducks. It didn't take me long to realize that I didn't have the patience that my dad did. My dad could sit for hours fishing, and when hunting, he had a lot of patience. He loved to teach his children how to survive in the wilderness, to be disciplined, to listen and have patience. But when it came to me, he wanted me to have the knowledge that I would need that when I went out on my own. One summer, he had me stick around and help take an engine apart in a car, learn what the belts were. He wanted me to know everything about it so I knew how it ran. So if I was ever in trouble, I'd know about it. Now let me tell you, as a young girl, learning how to take a car apart was not my fun thing. But my mom always told me, suffer, just do what your dad wants. She knew what he was trying to do. He wanted me to be a fighter. He wanted me to be rooted in everything he taught me, including knowing to trust my instincts and know when to call him when I needed help. But just like our Father God, he gives us instructions on how to protect ourselves. Be aware of the enemy. God is just a whisper away, just waiting for us to call on him when we need him. But we have an enemy who does his best to distract us and stop us. 1 Peter 5:8 describes Satan as a roaring lion. What do you think about or picture when you hear roaring lion? When I think of a roaring lion, I think about a mountain lion. Did you know that mountain lions know how to detect weaknesses in their prey? They will attack the weakest, the young, the sick, and the injured. It's how they live. It's in their nature. do you realize that Satan hunts with the exact same instinct? Cold-hearted, ruthless, hungering for the weak or hurting. He is very clear and patient, stalking us like a predator does, with no pity or mercy, and he thrives on our suffering. He spends a lot of time among the suffering. As a predator, he is similar to a mountain lion. When we are in times of suffering, things get hard. There are times we will feel so overwhelmed with so many emotions. We feel hopeless, helpless, angry, hurt, afraid, betrayed, unloved, frustrated, so many emotions. And worse, we don't feel we deserve it. We fight so many battles in our life, and it hits us in so many forms. Someone you love is on drugs or is an alcoholic. You lost your job. One or more family members is gravely ill, or you have a devastating health diagnosis. You're suffering or have injuries. You're needed to make an impossible decision. Someone hates you. Someone has stabbed you in the back. We have all experienced these things. It is in these times when we find ourselves most vulnerable. John 10:10 says, Satan only comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. He tells us lies such as, God doesn't care about the pain you're going through. God can't do anything without about it. Your misery, suffering, and hardship will never end. He is great with lies. He doesn't care about the people that he has in his grip. He wants the ones he can't have, God's people. We are his prime targets. The word prime is described as the best possible quality, excellent. If you're in a place of suffering under attacks, you are a prime target. God has made us in the image of Satan, and he does not like that. God has made us in his image. Sorry about that. God has made us in his image, and Satan doesn't like that. He hates us, and you are the best of the best. Your purpose destroys Satan's desires. We need to understand God has, if you feel like you're in a season of attacks, the storms around you are growing, it's because Satan targeted you to destroy what God is doing on the earth. So let me ask you this. What type of prey, P-R-E-Y, are you? What puts you in the line of sight to become Satan's prime target? So I have 3 points today. There are 3 types I'm going to talk about of prey. Easy, moving, and fighting prey. I want you to look at each other, go look at your neighbor and say, what type of prey are you? Look to the other side and say, what type of prey are you? Rabbits are easy prey. They live in constant fear and are not able to defend themselves. One evening, my uncle was taking me and my cousins on a drive, and this is in Arizona. He wanted to teach us about how to watch out for animals at night. I tell you, I had a bunch of teaching moments in my life about the wild, okay? And while we were doing this, a group of rabbits come flying out in front of the Jeep. And one, just one, stopped, stood up, and stared straight into the headlights. It froze. My uncle explained that when they see the headlights, they're blinded by it, and they freeze out of fear. And sometimes they are so afraid that their hearts will stop and they die. This makes them easy prey. Fear. All of us have experienced it in many ways. Fear is described as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Think about your body when you're in a total state of fear. How many times have you been in that kind of state where you froze? Could not breathe, could not move, or you start to hyperventilate, anxiety sets in, our hearts beat faster, your voice gets higher, and your body is filled with nerves. We freeze. But Satan is so good at creating these moments. We worry, and worry gets us nowhere. What does it do? It steals our sleep, messes with our thoughts, and distracts us from hearing God's word. His voice. Worrying will also make you irritable, bringing out the worst character, and making irrational decisions. Been there. He creates these moments of distraction to keep us from God. I want to just interject for a moment here. When I was doing this message, God had given me a word one day. It was like a couple of weeks back. We had that really hot day, and I couldn't wait to go home and write down this word God gave me. And what happens? I go home, I have no power. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to get this. The power's going to come on. I was watching on my phone. Power's coming on. Power didn't come on for 12 hours. I was tired. I had to throw my food out. I said, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to go do my laundry. The laundry rooms were all being remodeled. I was so tired. And I even forgot to do my morning call. I did it later. But I got to tell you, that's how the enemy tries to distract you. When you hear a word from God, he works really hard to distract you. He wants us frozen. He wants us unable to move. He wants us to be fearful and making decisions that will benefit us so we feel like failures, causing all kinds of chaos, not seeking God. He wants to keep us from what God is telling us to do. What can we do when we are in these types of moments? We have a choice not to accept those thoughts he is sending us. Even if you entertain an idea for a moment, you have opened the door for Satan, who will continue sending more. Before you know it, you feel overwhelmed and you start overreacting. We then play out so many scenarios in our head, right? We have plan A through Z, but there's only one plan. That's God's plan. That's plan A. But we don't care because we have more faith in our thoughts and ideas than we do God. Can everyone turn to Isaiah 41:10? It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will upload you with my righteous hand. Fear not. God instructs us not to fear. He says, I am your God. He reminds us of who is in control. When you are in those moments of fear, remember what God tells us. He is with us. He helps us. And not to fear. He is in control. The enemy is not. You may be in a season of fear. You may not be in a season of fear that makes you easy prey. Maybe you are moving prey. Fish are moving prey. They are constantly moving back and forth. And to catch one, you must have patience. In order to catch a fish, you must have the right fishing rod, lure, lines, weights, bait, and more based on the type of fish. If you've gone fishing, you know it's a waiting game. You must be prepared to wait in silence, waiting for that fish to take your bait. Fish will nibble on the bait before biting, and sometimes you'll spend hours and only get a nibble. Nibbles are a tease for fishermen. Are you moving prey? Do you move in and out of the Word? Pray randomly? Do popcorn prayers with God? Only worship on Sundays? Are you the type that seeks God? Only when you're trapped. Are you moving towards God and then away as the enemy baits you, trying to catch you in a weak moment? If we nibble on things we are attracted to, it only means we are interested, and so he keeps casting out those lines of deceptions until we bite. His deceptions cause stress, temptation, despair, revenge, fatigue. He will use distractions and situations to irritate you and annoy you, and anything to keep you from moving in the direction of God. Pray daily. Be in your prayer daily. Keep in your word. Come to church every Sunday, not just when you feel like it. Because fellowship is important to help us keep moving in the right direction. I'm telling you, just keep moving. You might nibble, we all do, but don't bite. When I'm under attack, I go to this scripture. Can we all go to Psalms 141, 9 through 10? Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. Don't fall into the enemy's snares. Be a fighter. Which leads me to the third prey. Fighting prey. Now, when I think of fighting prey, I had this vision of a kangaroo. The red kangaroos from Australia has a lightning-fast double kick that can tear you open, one kick of lightning speed and force of 150 pounds per square inch. That's a punch, people. That's powerful. They hit hard. When I was younger, I was bullied a lot being little because I was short. I only wish that I knew about the armor of God and different things that I thought. I wish I could think about myself being like a kangaroo, right? Kicking up with 2 feet, they're gone. So do you fight the enemy when you're under attack? Do you arm yourself with God's word and seek him when you're feeling weak? Do you reach out to those who are believers? Do you have an accountability partner to keep you in check? Do you seek God's word to use against the enemy? We may not see or hear Satan coming, but we feel him spiritually when we're being messed with. If we stand as fighting prey and be aggressive with Satan, like the kangaroo with a punch, we can make an impact on him. Satan will keep charging at you. Be ready to charge back and protect yourself. So let's go to Ephesians 6:11 through 13. It says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. I want you to go to Ephesians and read the rest of it to learn what the different types of armor that God has equipped you with. We need to resist Satan. But I have to tell you a quick story. When I was teaching in elementary, teaching children this kind of verse was very difficult because I didn't know how to bring it into them. And children don't read and have visuals like we do. So I found the most awesome-looking knight that was from head to toe, fully armored. Now, what was so funny about it is as soon as I showed the picture, all the boys got up and started going like this, like they were battling. They thought that was the coolest thing ever that night, and they all wanted a picture. But they got it. They got the visual. I want you to remember that visual when you go and you read about the different types of armor God gives you. I never got to go any farther on that because they were so in awe of how they could battle like a knight. So as much as we don't want to think about being a prime target, we will always be one. It depends on how easy you make it for him. So how do we stand up against the enemy without fear and confidence? Do you have confidence that you can fight that good fight? Do you reach out to others for support when you're in the fight with the enemy? When we are in fellowship with others, they are your support. They will help you and encourage you to keep fighting. Now, when I read this story, yes, it's about more visuals here. When I read this, it reminded me of what fellowship should look like. Geese, when they are flying in their V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% more flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back in the V, and another goose flies point. We are stronger when we have someone encouraging us, keeping us from losing hope. And when we do this, we are helping each other from falling into being prey. Build relationships. Be present for others. And be in prayer for one another. Can we all turn to 2 Kings 16, 15 through 17? So before I read, let me tell you a little bit of what's happening here. King Aram of Syria commanded his army to find Elijah, the prophet, and bring him back after finding out that he was telling the king of Israel where his armies would be. When the servant, The king as commanded Uriah the priest, saying, on the great new, no, that's not it. It's, is that it? Sorry. I have here, when the servant of man got up and went out the early next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw his full horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So how often do we not see problems and those who oppose us? Sometimes we have trouble seeing beyond our hardships and see the resources that God has provided us. God either enables us to survive the attacks, or he gives us strength to maintain it in a Christ-like manner and spirit. Trusting God, even when we cannot see the chariots, a fire on the mountain, is spiritual sight. Pastor Jewel's message a few weeks back, she talked about how God sees us. But do you see him? Do you look for him? This is faith. No matter where you are, God is waiting to send his angels to help. We have resources. We need to keep seeking God. Fasting and praying and being filled with the word of God will help prepare you for the attacks of the enemy. In Luke 4, Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the desert fasting and praying. Three times Satan tempted Jesus, and two times he responded, "It is written." God's word is a powerful weapon against the enemy. We need to rely on God for support. We need to take time out to God and check in. Invite him into your life. When you're in a bad place and storms are getting worse or just need to talk, invite God to sit with you. Tell him what's on your mind. God loves to be in communication with you. Have a conversation with God like you would with your friends. Even with just a casual conversation. There are so many times when I'm looking and I'm doing something, I'll tell God, just sit next to me and help me open my eyes when I'm doing my finances. Help me open my eyes for here. Sometimes I tell him, sit in the car with me when I'm driving because there's so many crazy people on the road. Right? I mean, I do that daily driving. I'll tell God exactly how I feel about drivers, and the funny thing is he reminds me how I'm driving. You know, we think we're the best drivers. We're not, people, okay? We are just as crazy when we get on the road and everybody, we get so caught up into all these things that are happening. And God will remind you. And there's times I have said some things to him and say, oh, I'm sorry, I should never have said that, right? So, you know, but that's a conversation with God. He doesn't care what comes out of our mouth. He cares that we're talking to him. He cares that we are using and reaching out to him. When you walk home and you go in through your door, you know what I do? I wipe my feet, and I will not let anything that might have attached me to that day come in my house with me, right? I tell God, take it off of me. I don't want it in my house, right? There are many times I've had workers come into my house, and I didn't pray over my house, and I come home, and you can feel those spirits, right? Haven't you ever felt like there was something heavy when you walk in somewhere, right? That's the spirits. You need to pray and tell God, hey, take them out of my house. Get them out. Give the enemy that kick like a kangaroo. So listen. Make it a two-way conversation. Make him your main contact throughout the day. Don't make God your 24/7 hotline. Make God your 24/7 lifeline. So are you living in fear? Are you moving in and out of God's word and presence? Or are you armored up and fighting back? God has equipped us to win. We are not losing any battles. We are more than conquerors. We are winners. Thank you.
Wow. Can we just give Ms. Deacon Donna a round of applause right here? Woohoo! What a powerful word this morning that she has given, and just want to praise God for what he's doing inside of you right now, how he just anointed you. What a powerful message on how we have to determine what prey are we, and how are we going to go against the attacks of the enemy? Are we just going to let the enemy come in and take over, or are we going to fight back and push back? Are we going to be in with God, and then I'm going to pop back out when it's all good, or am I going to stay in this fight with God? So I just want to say thank you for delivering that word. I know it was hard work for you, but we are grateful to you for this word this morning. And if you can, we're going to have, go ahead. We're going to have Deacon Donna stand right over here in the corner. And as you make your way out this morning, if you can, please make sure to stop and encourage her. We are family, and we just want to support her as she continues on this journey with God, growing her as a preacher, as a teacher. She's got so much going on, and she is an asset to this house. So just if you can, bless her and encourage her as you make your way out. We could have our prayer team come up. Yeah. I sense there's a need for prayer this morning. If you're feeling, I'll make a couple of altar calls. Let's start with, if you don't even know Jesus Christ is your Savior, and know that he has already defeated the enemy, we're going to make this call for anyone who wants to make Jesus Lord of their life. Jesus got on that cross and died, and he rose again with all power and authority. And he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And because of that power and authority, he has power and authority over all the enemy. And what's great about it is we now have power and authority over the enemy, that we can trample and tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means shall harm us. We can cast out demons. We're not defeated by the enemy unless we let the enemy try to run us over. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're like, I just want to get strong. I'm tired of the enemy trying to take me out and destroy my life. This is your moment right here. Jesus is like, come on, I'm ready. I'm ready to arm you up. I'm ready to empower you. I'm ready to give you life and that more abundantly. If you would like to make Jesus Lord of your life today, everybody with eyes closed, bowed head, if you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life today, just slip your hand up in this room. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for those with their hands raised right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're awesome. If anybody else would like to, this is your time right here. Lord, we thank you. For those who have their hands raised, if all of us with our hands up and the rest of us who don't, can you just join in with them? We want to thank God for the souls who like to give their hearts to Jesus Christ right now. Can we just pray together as a church? And just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming and giving your life for me today. I am a sinner, and I am in need of a Savior. You came, you died, and you rose again with all life, with all power, and all authority is now in your hands. And I want to put my life in your hands now. I want to exchange my life for your life. I give my heart to you today and make you my Lord and Savior. Come into my life and lead me. Cleanse me of all sin and fill me with your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.